Hello everybody and welcome to Heartbeat. Today we are entering into Holy Week, the time when we truly reflect upon what Christ did on the cross for us. And I'd like to share with you today on the seven last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. They're actually not just seven words, actually seven expressions, seven lines that Christ used. And we've often all heard them, maybe not all of them or don't fully understand them, but over the years, if we've gone to different services or reflected upon this at home or read the scriptures, we've heard these words. And I'm going to share them all with you, but I'm going to pull apart just one. And this week, maybe you sit and reflect upon each one and see what God has to say to you. Because remember, it's your journey, it's my journey, it's our journey. It's us with God. Now, these seven sayings are gathered from the four Gospels. They weren't just all in one. They've been written down by the four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you gather them together, it depicts the story. It's like when you go somewhere, if you're a journalist, there's four journalists there and they're writing on a story. Some people have a different slant, see a different thing. Maybe one of them only heard something that was said. Because in John's gospel, because John was there, he heard some things that maybe the other disciples didn't and didn't write it down. Or reflecting upon it, didn't remember those particular sayings. But together it gives us a picture. And it can help, you know, encompass more of what Christ has done. So maybe a good time is to actually read the last day of our Christ from each gospel and then sit and reflect upon them. Sit and reflect what the Spirit is saying to you at this particular point in time. So from the 16th century, these sayings have been widely used and widely thought about and discussed. And I'm going to put them in the traditional order that they've come in. I'm not just going to say this is Matthew and this is Mark. I'm going to talk about first what Jesus would have probably said from the cross first, or what did say traditionally the order. The first one is in Matthew and Mark's gospel. It says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Oh, I could relate to that. Lord, why did you forget me? I've been praying and praying and praying. Why haven't you come? Why haven't you answered my prayer? The human part of Christ cried out, God, why have you given me up? Why have you forsaken me and left me to die here on the cross? Because Jesus was human and divine. You know, I really feel like Jesus expressed that on from the cross so that we could go, we know, Lord, we've been there. No, the more that the Lord can say, I know how you feel because I've been there too. We can relate to him. We can understand how he'd felt. He understands how we feel. So then we can come and surrender ourselves to him. We can share with him honestly and openly, because he understands abandonment. He understands when prayers aren't answered the way we desire. Because humanly, he didn't want to die. What did happen in the Garden of Gethsemane? Take this cup from me. But then Christ, the Son of God, knew he had to die for us, chose to die for us out of love. My God, why have you forsaken me? Beautiful prayer. Touches all of us. The next one that is expressed is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh my goodness, he's the one being whipped, beaten, slandered upon, you know, dishonored, killed, being killed. And he cries out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't get it. They don't understand. What forgiveness? I don't know if I can be that. I could do that. Someone's killing me and torturing me and I say, forgive them, Lord. That's a gift from God. That's God himself saying that. That's love. Then he says to the thief beside him on the cross, who says, would you think of me? I'm sorry, would you remember me? And he said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the response our God gives to all of us when we say, I'm sorry. I haven't lived well. I haven't done well. I haven't even known you. I haven't served you. I haven't loved you. Forgive me, my life hasn't been good. And what does Jesus respond to us? Today you will be with me in paradise. What forgiveness, what love. Suffering and dying on the cross, and his words are expressions of love. My goodness, what a God we serve. Then the next part goes to, woman, behold thy son. And looks at John and says, behold thy mother. Now I'm going to come back to that, because that, to me, that's such a special place that God has placed us while we're still here on earth. Then he states, I thirst. He wasn't just stating to the soldiers, I'm thirsty. I'm up here. I've been doing so much and I'm perspiring and I'm thirsty. No, he was saying, I thirst for my people. I thirst for their deliverance. I thirst out of love for us. I mean, you look at it in that way, again, you see the love of God, the love that he has for us. He thirsts after us. Then he says, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. It is done. I have done it. The gates of heaven are now thrown open. Hell has not won. The enemy has not won. I am victorious. It is done. It is finished. And into your hands, O God, I commend my spirit. I give you my spirit. I go back to the Father. Our loving God, because what comes from Jesus comes from the Father, expresses his love for us. While his son is dying on the cross, he expresses out of Jesus' mouth his love for us, his sacrifice for us. So traditionally, these seven sayings are called forgiveness, salvation, relationship, abandonment, distress, triumph, and reunion. And we meditate upon these. The one I want to focus on more is the one about relationship. And it is where Jesus, dying on the cross, spoke to his mother and to Saint John, the beloved disciple, and it comes out of John's gospel. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Another, that's the traditional translation, but the translation that we use very often is the New Revised Standard translation, and it says, not behold, it says, woman, here is your son. And then looking at his mother, he said to John, here is your mother. But I love the word behold, because behold means take note, watch, look, see through sight or by meditation, observe. It's something remarkable or impressive in nature. So it's that extra, don't hear. Behold, have a look, meditate upon this. Try and have an understanding of this. This is so important. And it is. Because he says, woman, speaking to Mary, does that appear rude? Not at all. Because it's not disrespectful in the Jewish culture. It was a dignified form of address conveying honor and respect. And Jesus always respected his mother, always honored her. And he's honoring her in this instance right now, saying, woman. But also reflect upon the word woman was stated that Eve in the book of Genesis was the first woman. But now Mary has been stated where she stands, where she has been put in place of honor and respect. And it says, behold your son. Jesus is telling Mary, you have been graced to be the mother of the world. Not just John, the son, all sons and daughters, all mankind. Mary, you are placed in the honor place, in the seat of honor, to be the mother of the world. And remember in Genesis, God stated to the serpent when there was deception, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. The seed of us is man, or from God, but the seed of her, of Mary, was Jesus. And Mary has been given a grace of honor. A place of honor, but has been given grace to be the mother of the world. What does a mother do? She cares. She teaches. She protects. She loves. She loves no matter what. That's what a true mother does. She's truly our mother. He's establishing the relationship that we have with his mother, Mary. She protects and she grows us. She journeys with us towards her son, Jesus. Everything was always for her son, Jesus, towards her son, Jesus. The first miracle at the wedding feast of Cana was, Jesus, what can you do? I've shown you something. There's a problem here. And he says to the servants, do what he says. Not what she says. Do what he says. That's what she does. Points to her son all the time. She knows her place. She knows where she's honored as the mother of God, but she's not God and she knows that. Every prayer that we give to Mary, she points to her son, says, son, there's a problem here. This person's praying for this. This person's asking for this. Because then Jesus turns to John, who depicts all sons, all daughters, all mankind, and says, behold your mother. And it says from that place on, Jesus was welcomed into his own home. And it wasn't just look after my mother. Now I'm going, I'm gone, I'm dying. Because, you know, the widows were, if they weren't looked after by some family relative out on the street, it wasn't just that. It was that, but it wasn't just that. It was deeper than that, way deeper. This is your mother. By addressing both his mother and John, Jesus was assigning titles. He was establishing the relationship. You know, we can't call Mary We can't say, well, Jesus called Mary our mother and then deny the relationship, deny that there's a special place that she needs to have in our hearts, because Jesus told us that. Out of his dying lips, he told us that. All the other expressions are of love. Is this not of love too? He told us this. We are called to love and honour her. Bring her our joys and sorrows and problems, not because she can fix it, but because she brings them to her son, because she cares about us. Ask her for guidance and wisdom, because every path she takes is the right path, because she is full of grace, full of God, full of the Holy Spirit, pure, because God made her pure. She's human like us. She understands. But she's pure and will guide us to her son, who knows, as you know, everything from the Father and the Spirit, because they are one, three in one. Her unending yes of God shows us the unending surrender that God asks of us as we journey with him. We have an eternal mother who loves us and cares for us. Maybe here on earth you haven't had a good mum, not a good example. Now allow Mary to be the example of the mother that God has placed in our lives. So let us reflect upon these seven sayings, these seven words of our God. And let us understand more the love that he has for us, what he has done for us. Everything that came from his lips was focused on us, on his God, on his purpose, on what he had to do. Read them, meditate upon them, and know that God loves you. God loves you, and he sees you, and he knows you, and he still loves you. Have a great Holy Week by reflecting on his love for us and on his face.